This is our chat with Kayla Parpa from Spacey Jane, which we actually did over Zoom, so the audio sounds a bit weird, but here it is.
This is Molly and Craig, Power FM.
I saw you at Spilt Milk. I know Spacey Jane's been doing a bit of a run, and you guys were amazing.
Thank you. Did you have
the best time?
Yeah, so good. Such fun shows. I don't think, because we, being from the West Coast, we don't usually go to East Coast festivals except for Splendor as punters. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't really realize the scale of it. And it's just, yeah, they were amazing. It's our first time doing those kinds of festivals as the band we are now, I suppose. Like the last time we did those kind of touring festivals was Laneway in 2020 before COVID hit. So it was pretty special.
I could tell that you guys were so present and you really were taking it all in. And I think you even said that you were just so happy to be there. Is it hard to find moments like that?
Yeah, for sure. Like being in a band now is so many things to us. Half of it is boring administrative stuff and like planning logistics. And so those moments are like what we live for as musicians, as a band. Like that's kind of the point of why we do it. We truly are like grateful and present in those moments. It's like you really want to focus on them and be like, this is cool. This really is like the little kid in us, like living their dream.
As a band, obviously, you want to have fun and be present, like Molly said, but there's also those serious bits. How do you get that balance right between having a lot of fun, but also is there someone in the band maybe who's a little more serious and has to get the things right?
Yeah, I think Kieran and I probably sometimes too serious, but like, and Peppernation as well, we're all very focused on everything. But I guess getting that balance right has come for us from this sense of like, we care about this so much and we want this to work out and we don't want to leave anything to chance. And so I think we treat it like a job and like a business when we need to. And like, I think for us, it's like this sense of, if we do those things right, then at least we're giving ourselves more of a chance to like continue to do this and make the right choices. So yeah, it's like it's definitely a balance. And if it wasn't fun, then I think music, like I wouldn't be interested in doing it as a job because there's so many parts of it that are like so unusual and take you away from your normal life. So like there's got to be that element of it that makes it amazing.
Do you feel like music is sort of your hobby and your job? Because I feel like when you are someone that's creative, it's really tricky to find things to do when you're not working because work just feels so fun in lots of ways. Do you ever struggle with that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have hobbies outside of music. I like cooking, you know, and I like working on my garden, but that just seems like it's just like life stuff that you kind of find sort of fun in the mundane, I guess. And it's like just putting on different musical hats. It's like, okay, I'm going to write now and I'm going to rehearse now. I'm going to do emails now. I'm going to play shows now. Almost like this is like revolving loadout of like, depending on what is required of us or me for that week. It's like, you're doing this thing now. I guess music is not just like one job for me or for us. It's like multiple different facets of that we kind of have to tap into. It's pretty strange. It's weird. Like I'm sort of slowly coming to terms with the fact that it's like, okay, this is just my whole life is just music. Mm. And I just figure out which part of it I'm working on at the moment.
It feels like it's been a while since we spoke last and you guys have just gone from strength to strength. I feel like as creatives, you're always doing that though. Like you're striving for the next festival, the next album. Do you ever have moments to sit and go, hey, we've actually done really well to get to this point alone?
Yeah, you're right. Like there's so many music's like lots of little milestones. Just sell a couple more tickets in that city or like the record does slightly better. And that's sort of how you measure progress. In terms of moments to sort of stop and go, well, there definitely aren't enough of those in terms of being present in them. But I think like what we're talking about with the Spilt Milk shows, those are moments where you're kind of forced to recognize it. You don't like, it's right there in front of you. And I think it's when it's really in your face, like put a record out and it charts well, or you play a show to lots of people, you feel those like, wow, that's special. Like the US tour we just did, like a couple of those shows, it was like 4 years of playing in Australia and tour, you can sell this many tickets in a city and this is our first time in the US. And like those kind of realizations are really special.
Well, I guess one of those, key performance indicators or whatever the, you know, fancy people talk about is maybe like who you share the stage with. And obviously you've shared some incredible stages with incredible people. Who do you reckon is like maybe the most mind-blowing to you that you've been able to be alongside at a festival or whatever it may be?
That's an easy one for me. We just played Corona Capital in Mexico City last month and Phoebe Bridges played the stage like a few slots after us. Well, actually, that's not true. We opened the stage and she played like eight. But that was
same
really,
stage.
Really cool. Yeah, same stage. She had a few more people watching her, believe it or not. But that was crazy, like to play there and then go away, do some press and have some dinner and come back and watch her play that same stage was pretty amazing. She's, you know, so important to me as an artist, like really inspiring. So that was special.
Was it hard over in the US to focus on the tour? Like, have you been there before? Were you thinking on the weekends, I really want to go out and check these or I want to see this cool thing?
I've spent like 5 months there this year. So wow. I've been there a lot, which is so like, I was going to cities that I've been to a couple of times and there was an element of that. But also for me, it's like, especially with my voice, I want to make sure that I'm looking after myself. So I was really focused on like routine and sleep. And I think we all were. Plus, it was our first bus tour as well. So that kind of schedules your life for you a little bit. Like you're leaving at 2 a.m. on the bus, like you sleep on it, you arrive in the city, the next city the next morning. I was like, oh, we got 25 shows. I want to get through all of them and make sure they're all good. And so having that kind of focus helped a little bit.
Musical Kentucky.
Yeah, honestly, I've never done a Kentucky. So I guess now I kind of have. Yeah.
Obviously doing all these shows in a band, you kind of like almost have to give into weekend work or whatever it may be. So when you're touring and playing like Heaps Good and Falls and things like that around about this time of year, is that a pain for you? Because maybe you want to catch up with family and friends, it's holiday time, or is it just amazing anyway?
It's a bit of both. Like it'd be nice to just like have the summer to kind of do nothing. But at the same time, it's not like I have like, this is my only, my 4 weeks off of the year or something. It's like, I've got a few weeks off now to Boxing Day when we fly out, so I'm gonna use those as my holiday time. And the other thing is that I don't really like the pressure of like big holidays. I kind of like just working through it, because then like I've got a place to be. And like New Year's Eve, man, I don't know what I would do on New Year's Eve if I didn't have a show to play. So I'm glad I'm doing that instead.
How often do you have like your mates coming out to shows or festivals?
It depends where we are, really, but all the festivals, like all the Heaps Good, Spill Milk, we had friends like in each city that we'd like bring out and stuff, which was cool. A friend of mine, Sarah, who is from Melbourne but she lives in LA, she writes really cool songs. She like came to Spilt Milk and Ballarat. She's good friends with Flume and stuff, so it was like cool to see her and be like, we've worked together a lot as just like writing and stuff and producing in LA. It was nice to be like, hey, this is like what we do in a live music setting. So yeah, it's always cool to try and bring some friends along, and that makes it feel more like a hangout, which is really nice as well. It takes a bit of the pressure off it.
It's almost like you want to do better. Like when we have friends listening to the show, I'm like, I better tell the funniest story I've ever told today.
Yeah, it was like playing at home in Perth is always feels like the highest stakes show, because it's like people that you interact with day to day all of a sudden, and you're like, you know, I'm putting on the singlet and strutting around. I'm like, I don't want them to think I'm a fraud, essentially. So it's just like weird dynamic that happens.
I think it might be Molly's odd way of asking you if she can be a part of the South Australian crew whenever you come by.
Power FM.
I listened to a lot of podcasts, and it was actually Demi Lovato who was talking about the permanence of albums and the fact that you write this album and it's got all of your sort of internal emotions and experiences, and then it's just out there for the world, but it's out there forever. And I know you guys write a lot of really personal music. Does it ever feel a little bit like, oh, I want to get that moment back, or are you just cool with it being out there?
That's something I thought about more with this record, because I think when we put Sunlight out, there was this sense for me that like no one was going to listen to it, not in like a self-deprecating way, but it wasn't like we were putting it out to this like audience that was expecting it, that knew who I was, knew who we were. But with Here Comes Everybody, it was like, oh, there's going to be a bit more of a spotlight on this. And then in like interviews and things like that, people were sort of diving into the specifics, and all of a sudden I got a bit self-conscious about that. But then conversely, there's like this sense of, it's kind of like an arm's length feeling with the music, because people take it on, and most people who are listening aren't, in my mind, like kind of trying to pick apart like what this means for me and who it was. It's more so like how it applies to them and their life and how they've been through similar experiences. Like people want the ability to relate to things and relate to people. And I think that's what the songs are vessels for, more so than like me just like spilling my guts about something. And when I do it on stage, it's like there's a performance version of me that's like singing these songs so people can, they can be reflected back to the people rather than like listen to my story, essentially. But I think like having that separation in my mind helps it's a beautiful thing to be able to like be vulnerable in any part of life, but especially in music. So I'm grateful that I'm able to do that.
It's honestly a pleasure to watch you guys go from, you know, where you first started and everything blew up to where you are and where you're going to go. And we hope we can keep touching base with you and just, you know, watching you go higher and higher and higher.
Yeah, that'd be great. I definitely always like talking to you guys.